All right, guys, so today's episode of Cross Connection Axe is the first part of a two-part exploration.
And today we will begin an exploration of the bold message of the scriptures that challenged people then and challenges people today as well. Welcome to Cross Connection Acts. We are so excited that you're joining us, and I'm also glad because we are joined by Darnisha and Joel. How are you doing?
Pretty well.
Okay, excellent. So a great study is ahead of us, and we are actually continuing the study of Acts chapter 13. And right. Darnisha, you were with us last
time. Absolutely.
So we will continue our exploration. And before we do that, let's pray. And Darnisha, could you say a word of prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for just being the God you are, and we thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, who has played an important role in this amazing book of Acts. So, Lord, be with us, bless this conversation, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit just continue to dwell with us as we go further and deeper into your word. Amen.
Okay, so let's take a look at the map, as we always do.
Let's do it.
Right. So we just traveled with Paul all the way from Antioch, and this is what we see. Basically, it's from Antioch from here to Cyprus. Okay. And then from Cyprus, we will go to Perga, and then we will go to Antioch of Pisidia, right here. Antioch of Pisidia. It will be right here, basically. This is where we will have to be. So look at another city. Do you see this city?
Yeah.
Tarsus? Okay, let me just change it to something that is even better seen. So do you see this? So this is where we are. So we move from Perga to Antioch, which is right here. Do you see this Tarsus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Paul is from where?
Tarsus. Yeah.
So he comes back to the area that he knows really well. This
home
is
turf.
The area. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Home turf.
So this is his home turf.
Okay.
Very good. So this is where we are at. And so, Sergio, let's just talk about these two people who we see.
These are just key players right now in the book of Acts is all about Saul and Barnabas, or Paul and Barnabas, as he's now being called. And they are partners in ministry, as you pointed out, Oleg. They're traveling throughout these Greco-Roman cities, a lot of which you just mentioned. And right now where we are in Acts chapter 13, they travel to Pisidian Antioch, where they teach in the synagogue. And actually, a lot of the teachings that we're going to explore about Scripture and what Scripture is and its role, all of these things, they break it down for that audience there in that synagogue.
Interesting. So remember we talked about last time when we talked about Bar-Jesus.
Yes.
What is the meaning of the word Bar-Jesus? And I would like to encourage you to go back to the show that we recorded last time. It's actually an interesting show.
Yes, I thought so.
Okay. So remember there was Bar-Jesus.
Yes.
What is the meaning of the word Bar-Jesus? What do
Son of Jesus.
Son of Jesus. But Saul actually calls him who?
Bar-Satan, basically. Bar-Satan. Son of the devil. Yeah.
Son of devil. He calls him son of devil. Yeah. So you see, the name plays a very important role.
Yes. Yes.
Then there's Barnabas, which is son of the father. Yep. Son of the heavenly father.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there is another character that we see, Saul.
Yes.
He's called Saul, but now he will be called Paul. And the meaning of it is also interesting. Do you remember of any other character who is named Saul?
King Saul.
King Saul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was King Saul?
He
was
the first king.
The first king of Israel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was he a man after God's own heart.
Oh, there you go.
The man after God's own heart?
No, he wasn't. No, and in fact, that whole institution of a king of Israel wasn't part of God's plan either. They decided, hey, we want a king. Well, enough of this having God lead us around stuff. We want a king. So even the institution, the role he was filling, wasn't God's choice. Neither was...
When David was chosen, then he was the man after God's heart.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So this is what we are seeing. And now let's go to chapter 13, verse 16. Verse 16. And Darnisha, could you read verse 16?
Sure. Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen."
Okay, so now he's presented his sermon.
Yes.
And it's interesting how when he presents his sermon, he actually recounts all history of Israel, of the nation of Israel.
Right, right.
The entire, it's just he continues. And then he comes to verse 22. Mm-hmm. Let's read verse 22 and, yeah, verse 22, which is, Darnisha, could you read verse 22?
And when he had removed him, he...
So removed him, Saul.
Saul. Yes.
When God removed Saul, mm-hmm. King Saul, we read it about previous verse, and then he can continue.
Yes. He raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Huh.
So look at how interesting this is. Mm. Here is this man whose name is Saul.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gives this testimony and he comes, imagine this sermon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He comes to the point and he says, you know what? There was a king whose name was Saul,
right. Uh-huh.
Just like my name.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But then God found David. Mm-hmm. And another king, David, he was a man after God's own heart,
mm-hmm. right.
because he was doing the will of God, mm-hmm. just like I am trying to do
right.
now. But I was that Saul
right.
who was persecuting Christians.
Right.
Yes.
But now my life has been changed.
Yeah. So this
yes.
is a personal talk that he was giving.
Isn't it? Huh. I mean, it's just, yeah. he recounts the story, but in the story of Israel, he sees his own story.
Mm-hmm. And it is at this wow. point that Luke chooses to stop calling him Saul.
Exactly.
And here he says, no, you know what? He's not Saul. He's Paul.
Paul.
He's this new. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But isn't it amazing? Because we see this is the scripture. This is the scripture that he gives. Uh-huh. And the scripture is filled with personal mm. touches.
Yeah.
This is what the scripture is about, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
When we read the scripture, we read, oh, this is the story of Abraham. Wait
right.
a second. It's also your story.
Yes. Yeah.
It's also my
Absolutely.
Story.
Uh-huh. And the people that Saul is talking to, this is in a Jewish synagogue, they would have felt this intimately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this
mm-hmm.
is our history. This is the history of us, God's chosen people. And former Saul, now Paul, is using that as an opportunity to say, this thing you feel so close to, it is also Jesus' story, and it has all existed to point to Jesus.
Exactly. So so when we talk about the scripture, what do we need to remember? Mm-hmm. Scripture can be read as the story about your story.
Yes. Yes.
Scripture is your story. Second thing that is extremely important, all of the scripture points to
Jesus.
Yes. How often do we remember these things? Huh. Because sometimes we find doctrines mm-hmm. in the scripture
yeah.
or our traditions in the scripture
right.
and support our traditions.
Or
and
issues over which to fight.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and disagree. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So why do you think it is so important, and why do we need to take that into consideration?
Well, I think that we see it in Paul's life, you know, and in these Acts of the Apostles. Apostles are people who had seen Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They're not promoting some kind of abstract yeah. dogma or something.
Yeah.
This is they all, in their own way, including Saul, mm-hmm. had a personal encounter with mm-hmm. Jesus. It means something to them personally, and they call on us to have that same encounter mm-hmm. and make that story our story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's read that verse, which is verse 23. We just read verse 22, that Saul... And mm-hmm. then Saul was not after man's heart, and then mm-hmm. David was after man's heart, just
yes.
like Saul and Paul. Mm-hmm. And Sergio, could you read verse 23?
Yeah.
What is it exactly?
From this man's seed, that man being David,
yes.
according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, mm. Jesus.
You see, this is what yeah. he says. Let me tell you, this whole story tells us about the main character of the scripture.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Huh.
Yeah. Do we preach about Jesus enough?
Well, you know, I think it should really form a lot of how we think, because sometimes we look at portions of scripture and we present it a certain way, and I think if we were to be honest and look back, we go, is Jesus really in that?
Mm.
You know, is that really the way of Jesus? It really helps us to kind of crystallize how we understand scripture, that the role that it
yes.
plays, because there are portions of scripture, I would say at least, that if we didn't have Jesus, would be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with Jesus, they become clear, and we see God's message for us in our lives.
That is exactly the reason why we have actually four Gospels.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. How many the book of Genesis do you have? Like, just one.
Right.
But or the stories of Abraham. How many stories of Abraham do you have?
Just one.
This is what we need to remember. That is exactly the reason why we have four Gospels, because this is what should permeate our lives, and the scripture is permeated.
That's beautiful, all these. Scripture is our story, and it's also Jesus' story.
Yes.
And we need to take a break, but we thank you for making us a part of your story. We'll see you after the break. Thanks so much for sticking with us here on Cross Connection Acts, and we're taking a look here at this first part of the adventures of Paul and Barnabas, and really exploring this bold message about Scripture and how it ties to our lives and to Jesus' life.
Exactly. And what we need to remember, that the Scripture is not something that we look for and to support our views and presuppositions.
Yes.
Scripture actually points to Jesus, and this is what we need to remember. Scripture points to Jesus. So number one, point number one, Scripture points to Jesus. It can be our story, but it points to Jesus in our lives, in the life of those characters. So it can be also our story, but it points to whom?
Jesus.
This is very, very important. Yeah. Okay, so, and the second point that we will talk about is Scripture is fulfilled in Jesus as well. Yeah. Yeah. And now let's read something very interesting. John chapter 5, verse 39.
Oh, okay.
John, okay. Well, we are studying the book of Acts. I thought we did, but yes, we do.
Yeah.
So, John chapter 5, verse 39.
Huh. And 39.
John chapter 5, verse 39.
Oh, yes. There we go.
Okay, so could you read? You have it underlined.
Yep.
Okay,
good. I love the fact. It is hilarious because I'm looking at it and we're going to talk more about this.
Okay, sure, we will.
About why it's underlined.
Okay, so why is it? Okay, so read it.
Okay.
So it's John chapter 5, verse 39. Yes, please read it.
You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life.
Okay, so you see, what is the problem there? Sometimes people search the Scripture because they think that they will find eternal life by studying the Scripture.
Yes.
It becomes almost like an amulet.
Like a practice.
Talisman.
Just, talisman.
Yeah.
You just put a talisman. Oh, I read my Scripture today. Yes. I'm saved.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
Why is it wrong?
It doesn't give you, I mean, that's not the true purpose of just reading Scripture.
Okay.
God wants you to go deeper and actually have a relationship with Him.
Yes.
You know, Scripture, by reading the Scripture, will kind of help you maybe, if you truly read the Scripture, will probably help you guide and make you go in that path that God wants you to be in. But if you read the Scripture just to read it, it's just another book for you.
Yeah.
You know? But because this is what Jesus says. You search the Scripture because you think that in them you will have eternal life. But they testify about me.
Yes.
And I am the one who gives eternal life. The book itself cannot give eternal life.
Right.
It's just a book. Because if you don't find Jesus in this book,
right.
What is the point of you reading this book?
Right. And I think what's really... This is why I underlined it.
Okay.
Because how many of us, we focus on being Bible smart, but we don't focus on being spiritually filled. You know, I don't know about you, but growing up, I was taught to know the Scriptures, to know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, recite, Genesis 1:1, John 3:16. But do I know what these Scriptures are about?
Right.
And here I am, I'm searching the Scriptures to defend a belief, but I don't take the time to connect with the Word that was mentioned in John 1, the Word that became flesh.
Yeah, and you don't find the one who it testifies about.
Right.
But this is exactly what Paul is doing.
Yeah.
He stands in the synagogue. It's a synagogue.
Yeah.
People know the Scripture by heart.
Yes. Right.
They can recite all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And he says, you know what? Let me tell you the true meaning of the Scripture now.
Yeah.
It testifies about the one who is who was about to be crucified, who was about to be raised again, so that now the grace is filling the world.
Right.
And this is what actually it says. It says here, and you can... let's read this, verse 43. Let's read verse 43. Sergio, can you read verse 43?
Hey, because you asked.
Yes. please.
Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
So look what happens. They persuaded them to continue in what?
The grace of God.
The grace of God. Because when you search the Scripture and understand the Scripture, then the grace of God.
Yes.
Especially when you look at it through the prism of Jesus.
Then you see the grace of God.
Right. Yeah. Because there's so many ways. You know, there are a lot of... Each corner of the world has its own church community that looks... that they all look very different from each other, and really they kind of reflect more the community than they're in than the character of Jesus. But with the real church, if you want to know a real Christ-centered community that is rooted in the right thing, sees Scripture the right way, they all look the same. They all look like Jesus. You know, they all have the character of Jesus. And I think that's what Paul is calling us to do, to follow scripture as a way of kind of arriving at and being more like Jesus and following him.
Yeah. So this is an encouragement to me as well. Now I know how to read the scripture. Because when I read the scripture and I don't see Jesus and I don't try to find Jesus, then maybe I need to change the way I read the scripture. Because the scripture is not about about predicting your future.
Yes.
The scripture is not about it's not just about the transformation of your life, because what is happening, your life has been transformed when you come in contact with Jesus. Because when you read the scripture and it says you need to do this and you start doing it, you will fail.
Right.
Only if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ.
Paul would have known this extremely well. I mean, think about it. Saul was a Pharisee.
Yes.
He would have been brought up. He was taught under Gamaliel, another rabbi.
Yes.
He knew the scriptures
by
intimately.
Heart, yeah.
He was a Bible.
Scholar.
The term. He was kind of a Bible geek. You know, and knew all of the things, but he didn't have Jesus in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't have Jesus in his life, suddenly this new group comes along and he's driven to want to kill them.
Yeah.
You know, what purpose did the scripture serve him without Jesus? You know, then he encounters Jesus and everything snaps together for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting how this message about Jesus actually calls people to the transformation, to metanoia, to the change of mind.
Yeah.
That's why they start living in the grace of God now.
Mm-hmm.
So they follow the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so when we talk about the scripture and what the meaning and the power of the scripture, it's not about just making people better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the world suggests that as well.
Yeah.
Go to the gym, etc., etc. You just become better.
Yeah.
You're already good, but then become better.
Yeah.
When we come to the scripture completely transforms you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not about making better what you already have and improving.
It's making you whole.
It's to make you whole and new, brand new.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why, because we need to remember this. The challenge of the gospel is not about just improving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge of the gospel is dying and being reborn.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yes.
And this is what Paul is preaching here as well.
Right. And why would I have any impulse to do that unless I encounter a very real person who speaks to me into my life? If it's just a bunch of teachings or stories or anything else, I'm never going to be challenged by that. Why would I ever be motivated to do that? It's only with Jesus that we can face that challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think what we should, you know, also be mindful is one thing that I've been doing lately, starting last year, I got convicted, you know, I got a little shocker, was from sitting in a class and I was challenged by my professor to start reading the Bible like it was my first time. And when I started reading Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus through the lens of Christ, I realized how, how it's just so amazing to me, because I used to think that the Old Testament God was an unfair God. And then when I start reading, you know, even about Moses, you know, Paul mentioned about that, you know, in some of our translations, you know, just to rewind back, you know, to the 13th chapter, you know, he mentioned, you know, God put up with the Israelites for 40 years.
Right.
And it's amazing because he put up with them, but along with caring for them, you know, he could have just ditched them, you know, before the 40 years.
Yeah, but this love.
But it's that love.
Forever.
It's like God is a God of pursuit.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's important in the book of Acts, that, you know, now that the Jews, they're not getting the memo, so you know what, I'm going to forward this to the Gentiles.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to what we will discover next, because we will see how the people who are challenged by the word of God react. And we have the choice as well. How do we react to the message and the challenge of the gospel? Welcome back. We talk about Acts chapter 13 and the second half of chapter 13, and we see how Paul is actually at his home turf.
Yeah.
His name is Paul now.
Yeah.
Paul.
Uh-huh.
So he's presenting this message in the synagogue.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And in the synagogue, he talks the same language that they do. Huh. He recites the scripture. He tells them the story of the scripture that they know by heart.
Mm.
And then he says that this message actually points to Jesus.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you see your life in this story, but this story is about Jesus in your life, because he was always along the way, and everything talks about and predicts.
Yes.
And Jesus actually is the one who fulfills the scripture.
Yeah.
But so let's take a look at the reaction of the people. So let's read verses 42 and 43. So we are in Acts chapter 13, verses 42 and 43. And there, Nisha, could you read verses 42 and 43?
Sure. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Hmm. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
We need to read verse 44, just because it's just mind-blowing. So verse 44.
All right.
On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God.
Absolutely.
But look what happens next, Sergio. You need to read the following verse.
We're going to keep going. All right. Okay. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Mm.
So look what happens when the message of the gospel is confronting us.
Yes.
First reaction. What is the reaction? Number one.
They want to hear it.
Some they want to hear it. Right, they want to follow it. Yes. They want to, tell me more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to follow this grace. Mm-hmm. So number two, rejection.
Some rejected. Yeah.
And blasphemy. They just speak, reject. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's number three, which is verse 50. Hmm. We can read 49 and 50. And Sergio, could you read verses 49 and 50?
And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region.
So number three.
Yeah. Ooh.
So you see these three elements? First, you can accept and start changing your life, live in the grace of God.
Right.
Second, you can reject it and start and talk about it, saying that this is a blasphemy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And number three, you can start a persecution.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, as we look at that, I want to jump in and maybe make sure we have the right framework for this, because it's possible to look at this and get, you know, some people interpret these kinds of passages in, frankly, an anti-Semitic way.
Okay.
They go, oh, those Jews. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what they were doing. Oh, they just reject. What we're seeing here, the Gentiles represent people that were on the fringe of that society, especially when the center is a synagogue. Uh-huh. The Gentiles are the outsiders. Mm. Outsiders always respond to the gospel. The gospel is a message for outsiders. Outsiders. If you feel unaccepted, God loves and accepts you. That's the gospel. The people that oppose and even persecute, it points out it's not just Jews.
No,
it's
because
it's devout and prominent women, and also the chief men of the city.
Yes.
People in power.
Yes.
This is who the gospel is a threat to.
Yes. Yeah, because the Jews, many Jews, they accepted it. We read about 40, verse 43. Yeah. Many of the
Most
Jews.
Most of these people preaching the gospel are Jews. Yeah.
Look how important it is, because actually the religious leaders, they are the ones who start persecuting others.
Right, right.
So, and if you look throughout the history of this world, the church is suffering the most from the church.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a challenge. But I mean, that's who it's a threat to. When someone comes along and says, hey, I have this exciting message about Scripture. It's not just about you. It's about Jesus, this man who died for the salvation of everyone. Mm-hmm. It's people in power who are trying to place boundaries and make themselves as gatekeepers between other people and God. That's who's going to feel threatened by this.
Yeah. And look what happens. Because if the message of the gospel is inevitably transformational. Mm-hmm. And it challenges everyone. Yeah. So, but if you resist this work of the Holy Spirit and do not want to change, you will inevitably start persecuting those who are presenting this message.
Yes. Mm. And how many of us have experience, you know, when we present a Christocentric approach, we get threats, you know, if we reach out and we, you know, rethink certain doctrines that we have, you know, like how often do we tend to, you know, we get, you know, a lot of backlash from a lot of our, you know, prominent leaders.
Right. But that's why it's so important to remember that Christ is in the center of every message that we deliver.
Yes.
So
yes.
If this message is delivered in the spirit of Christ, with Christ,
in the grace of God,
then the message has, then we can deliver that message.
Right.
But if this message is delivered in such a way so that we say, no, our way is the right way, your way is not the right way, this is not the right way, and it goes both ways, no matter what you present, whether you defend or present, it's we all need humility of Christ.
And we need to challenge ourselves, all of us, myself included. What concepts do I currently hold on to that currently don't have the grace of God in them, that serve to separate and to divide divide and to place one group above another, what am I holding on to that is making that happening? And how can I make the grace of God, as we see in Jesus, take that away and create something else in me?
Yeah. And this is that's why it's so crucial for us to understand. This is what Paul says. This is what Paul will say, not just here, but he will say it throughout all of his epistles.
It's a spoiler for Acts, but Paul says it to his death. Paul says it to his death.
But he says it to his death. Let's read the scripture in such a way so that we can see Jesus. And then when we see Jesus and the grace of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus, mercy, because it's mercy that is given to us so that we can pour grace to the world. Because he's so merciful that he accepted me. That he first he's accepted me. And now I see another person and say, you know what? Trust me, he accepted me. So let's go together to the cross. Because I'm so stained that your stains are nothing compared to mine.
And I think one thing in verse 51, what I really like the most is that, you know, they mention they shook off the dust from their feet against them. You know, it's something that's really interesting because, you know, during Paul's time, you know, to shake the dust from one's feet was to declare Gentile territory to be unclean. But however, you know, the missionaries, they shook the dust from their feet as they left the city to show that the Jews had become like Gentiles, whom the Jews considered unclean. You know, it's so interesting because we hear about how Paul started dusting off his feet, you know, because
from the synagogue, people from the synagogue, because he was persecuted by his own.
It is a beautiful irony, you know, about the book of Acts to see how Paul went from a traditional, you know, legalistic, and then to see his encounter with Christ and to see him now in this chapter being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and going back with just addressing the stuff that he used to have been used to. You know, I remember my time having that type of background. You know, I used to try to hold on to certain traditions, but when Christ had to call me out,
He challenges us.
And it's not easy. It hurts.
This is beautiful. Guys, thank you so much. This has been a great study. Thank you so much for joining us today from home or where you are right now in your life. Just let Scripture challenge you. That's what following Jesus is all about. Until we see you again, peace.